Today's edition of the Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Caller podcast for the 22nd of April, 2020. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Join me in a cold and frosty one, won't you? Try not to spill that. It's actually not a beer. It's a Diet Coke. But still, it's cold. Well, it will be as soon as I pour it over this ice. And it'll be frosty because I'm not tipping the glass, and which means it'll take a half an hour to pour the whole thing into this solo red cup. Lots of things to get to today. We're going to talk to Ash Scow of the Daily Wire at the halfway point of the show or so, and get her take on this. She was supposed to get married last weekend, and the coronavirus screwed that up. That's why part of the reason why I wanted to talk to her. Plus, she's a damn fine reporter, so we talked to her. But before we get to any of that, we've got our own business to attend to, my own rants to get into. I've been getting your emails. You need to get back to ranting. You need to get. I rant. I will rant. Fear not, dear listener. I shall rant this, I promise you. But first, it is Wednesday, hump day. It's not even hump day anymore, unless you're out there humping. It's just not hump day because most people aren't working. Most people are at home, stuck at home under government orders. So it doesn't really matter that it's Wednesday except for your TV viewing pleasure. It means to know, what do I watch on Wednesdays? I can't remember if it's Summer House or Vanderpump Rules or whatever. I don't know. I always watch off the DVR. I enjoy trashy reality TV of shows that can't be shot anymore because they're, I imagine all the productions are still halted because it's just a bunch of drunk people hanging on each other. Anyway, it also means that we hear from our lovely sponsor at GetTheTea.com, Ronnie McMullen, about the great deals and wonderful products they have available in our pre-recorded segment that I like to call a commercial. So here it goes. Joining me on the phone right now is our lovely, lovely sponsor and proprietor of GetTheTea.com, Ronnie McMullen. How's it going, Ronnie?
Great. How you doing, Derek?
I couldn't be better. I couldn't be. By law, I don't think they would allow me to be better. Look, I want to talk to you. Everybody's concerned about their immune system right now, and there are certain ways, nothing is perfect, but there are certain ways to help boost your immune system, and GetTheTea.com isn't just tea. So tell us about what you've got out there to naturally help us boost our immune system.
Well, I call the immune system, I kind of put it in terms like this is our shields, like shields up. And most of us out there, because of the foods and the water and blah, 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 our shields are down. So when the cruddy virus comes up or any cruddy virus comes around, then we are susceptible to that issue. If our shields are up, it changes the odds of getting a virus by majorly. So with this being said, if you look up the benefits of just garlic, okay, and a lot of people, they run and they go get garlic pills. And garlic is really good, but the allicin inside the garlic, that's the key point. And most of the garlic pills that you get on the shelf are running 2 or 3%. We're running 100% allicin. And here's the thing. One of our pills of Allicin Advanced is equal to 35 cloves of garlic. It's an extract, so it's very, very powerful. So if you were going to run it with vitamin C, vitamin C for you to really have your shields up would be, you'd have to be taking so many milligrams. I mean, way over the top. So I just kind of sit back and I'm not worried that I'm going to get anything because my shields are up. And of course, the age plays into it and a lot of other issues. But long and the short of it is if you just look up garlic, Google garlic and what it does for you. Now imagine taking 35 cloves, except you don't smell like garlic. You don't have garlic breath, so you can still have a relationship. So it's all good. And it's on the front page. It's on sale.
And it's just a good idea to keep your shields up all the time, yes. Ronnie. Go to getthetea.com. Look up the Allison Advanced. It's right there on the homepage. You're having a sale now. And then if you enter promo code Derek at checkout and click the apply button, you get free shipping on top of it. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Ronnie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Love Ronnie McMullen. Love Ronnie McMullen and Get the Tea. It's good stuff. So don't forget promo code Derek at checkout. You help them, you help me, you help yourself. There you go. Okay, lots of things to rant about before we get to our interview. And holy Frank Tanana, are there things to rant about? Last night, I'm finishing up recording the program, and I see the big breaking news. Did you know that Kim Jong-un is teetering near death? Teetering near death. CNN was reporting, and then MSNBC, Katie Turd. She goes by Tur, but she's not fooling anybody. She was tweeting out that two sources have told her that, my God, Kim Jong-un is brain dead. Well, there was somebody brain dead in that equation. It just wasn't Kim Jong-un, apparently. Now, we don't know. So it's kind of funny. She originally tweeted out that, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is brain dead, according to two U.S. officials. He recently had cardiac surgery and slipped into a coma, according to one U.S. current and one former U.S. official. NBC News confirms and adds to the scoop from CNN, she said. The scoop. Ooh, they had the scoop. They love it. They must eat Raisin Bran constantly because it has two scoops of raisins. They love scoops so much. But it doesn't seem to be true. South Korea is saying that they don't have anything. I mean, we don't know if coronavirus has hit North Korea, and it does target the morbidly obese. There is only one person in North Korea who fits that description, and it's Kim Jong-un. Everybody else is starving to death, but it doesn't appear to be true, at least not as of yet. We shall see. But this isn't a story about North Korea. This is a story about journalism. After having tweeted that, Katie Turr then deleted it. Now remember, NBC News has confirmed, she said. NBC News confirms and adds to the CNN scoop. She then deletes it and tweets, I've deleted that last tweet out of an abundance of caution, waiting on more info. Apologies. Now, don't you love that? I deleted the big scoop, the big news story I just declared to the world out of an abundance of caution. The abundance of caution is supposed to come before you report the stuff. I'm not a journalist, but I know this much. Somehow, Katie Turd, overpriced airhead on MSNBC, doesn't seem to know this. And she's got a long history of just saying dumb things, clueless things. She doesn't know so much. And she's in the news business. And it's almost as if she doesn't follow the news business. And she's unaware of how the news business is supposed to work. Now, I put supposed to in there because it is how it works. That's how it works now. But it's not how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to get confirmation of things before you report them. Or at least if it's too juicy, you can say rumors are, we're hearing, something like that. But you don't make an unequivocal declaration of somebody being brain dead or somebody being traded to another team or anything without confirmation. That's the point of journalism. So it was a whole bunch of fake news, or at least so it seems. It may turn out to be true, and the world would be a better place if it did turn out to be true. But what would have happened? What would have been wrong if they had waited before reporting any of it until they got actual literal confirmation? The original CNN story, U.S. is monitoring intelligence that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is in grave danger after surgery, according to a U.S. official. A U.S. official, one U.S. official. That's what you're going on? That's what you're declaring? One person. It used to be, and, you know, again, I hate to sound all get off my lawny because all this stuff happened before my lifetime, but it used to be that you would require, if somebody wasn't willing to go on record, that you had to have two independent verifications of a story before you could go. They couldn't, you know, hey, here's Bob. Bob says this is true. Now I'm Bob. I'm going to hand the phone over to Earl. Earl's going to also say it's true. They can't know of each other. You had to have come by this information or gotten this information independently. Now it's just, whatever. What are you going to do? One guy told me something. And it's not like they're calling these people up. It is these people are calling them up. So they're essentially PR machines. They just churn out, spit out, burp out, however you fart it out, which there's a story that you can catch coronavirus from farts, which we're all doomed. We're all doomed. My family would be destroyed. Just saying. But you're supposed to have confirmation. They don't have it. Said, Kim recently missed the celebration of his grandfather's birthday on April 15th, which raised speculation about his well-being. He had been seen 4 days before at a government meeting. Another U.S. official told CNN Monday that the concerns about Kim's health are credible, but the severity is hard to assess. That's what they went on to declare him gravely ill. And or, this is CNN, they didn't declare him brain dead. Brain dead, MSNBC did. But gravely ill or brain dead, that's what they went on. That flimsy of reporting. It's I guess I can't really say it's shocking. But it's disturbing. They need standards in journalism. I wrote about this in my book, that the Watergate era really sort of made journalists celebrities, and everybody wanted to be a celebrity. And that was the problem with it. Journalism has gone downhill since then because they saw Woodward and Bernstein, a couple of marginally, well, Bernstein's not talented at all, and Woodward has talent. So he marginally, when you average them together, talented chuds, although, again, Woodward was kind of a good-looking guy. Bernstein always looked like a lawn gnome that sort of melted in the sun. But they made millions of dollars. Millions of dollars off of Watergate. And every journalist or every aspiring journalist saw that and said, holy crap. Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman can play me in a movie and I get to hammer huge checks and sleep with hot women. I'm going into journalism. And then they've gone out in a crusade since then. We take down a president, we'll be rich. We take down a politician, we'll be rich. You're supposed to just, I don't know, report the truth. That's so passé, so old-fashioned now. But you've got all these people rushing into it. Whereas the editors at the time of Woodward and Bernstein had a lot of stories they couldn't run. They weren't allowed to run by the Washington Post, Ben Bradley, because they didn't have it. They had standards, and the stories did not meet those standards, so they couldn't run with their scoops. Now, some of them ended up being bogus and dead ends, and some of them they later achieved satisfactorily. But the point is they had editors there to hold their ideology, their enthusiasm in check. Now the people who were the Woodward and Bernstein contemporaries who had to have their ideology, their excitement held in check are the editors. And the younger reporters come in with even more excitement, more ideology, more activism. And they're not really holding them in check. And that's screwed over journalism to the point where it is now. The next wave of journalism is going to be even worse because these ideological moron activists with press credentials are going to be the gatekeepers. They're going to be the editors. The people with the Twitter accounts, the Katie Turs of the world, are going to be the ones who are supposed to say to the excited young reporter, you don't have it yet. And they're not going to do that because they've spent their whole career unpunished, unconsequenced, just going, you know what? I'm going to tweet it. Screw it. Let's see what happens. We can report first and correct later. Well, she had to delete. Same, CNN hasn't deleted, but they should have. They didn't have the story. They had one guy anonymously saying something that they couldn't verify at all, and apparently didn't even try to verify. You can't find any verification of it anywhere. Hopefully it's true. The world will be better off if an evil guy like Kim Jong-un is dead. But you've got to have some kind of standards. My God, this isn't just about foreign policy and because North Korea is a secretive state. This is about everything related to the Trump administration. After 8 years of hibernation of journalism, now they're trying to come back full bore and they don't have their sea legs. They're making asses of themselves and destroying their credibility at a time. Look, we need journalism. Journalism sucks. I complain about journalism all the time, but we need journalism. We need to know what's going on in the world and in our government. We just don't get it anymore. And it's pathetic, and there are going to be consequences to that, and it's only going to get worse. It's not as important to be first as it is to be right, but that's the mantra under which journalism operates these days. We'll fix it in post. We can always issue a correction or a clarification later, or stealth edit it later. What does it matter? Let's just run with it. It's sick, and it's wrong, and it gives people the wrong impression. It lies to people. Meanwhile, they sit there and wet their beds over anything the president, he said 92.3%. It's really 93.2%. My God, why is he lying to the American people? Well, being wrong is not lying. But being wrong when your job is to be right, when you'd rather be first than right, I don't know that that's lying, but it's certainly incompetence. Nothing would have changed if CNN held this story for another 24 hours or until they got some kind of better verification. If Kim Jong-un were gravely ill, he would still be gravely ill, even if he'd had a miraculous recovery. He would have been gravely ill. And what's the worst case scenario? Somebody else confirms it and reports it? How many people have ever heard of a breaking story where they said, well, I don't want to read some of the other news organizations reporting on a story somebody else broke? We must go to the original source. No, if your regular news source is MSNBC, if it's a CNN breaking story, you're going to go to read the MSNBC version of it. If it's the Daily Caller, you're going to go read the Daily Caller write-up of it. They'll all say, as broken by CNN or whatever. But being first doesn't matter, except in the awards, which is what a lot of this is for. Journalists' offices are littered with awards. They give each other more awards than Hollywood does. And Hollywood exists on low-carb diets and awards, period. It's ultimately boils down to narcissism. And there are few professions as filled with narcissists as journalism is in 2020. Anyway, I wanted to comment on that because I thought that was ridiculous. I've got much more to get to. That also involves CNN, Chris Cuomo, and quarantine. We'll talk about that right now, as a matter of fact. Fredo Cuomo, as everybody knows, famously had coronavirus. He's been cleared now. He's out of quarantine. Apologies to his family and his neighbors and God knows everybody else. He came down. He was diagnosed with coronavirus, I don't know, two and a half weeks ago. And he bravely, courageously did his show. He was in his basement. He was allegedly self-quarantining in his basement. And then yesterday on his program, Monday night on his program, he did the big reveal. He was out. He was free at last. Thank God Almighty. Fredo was free at last. He had one of his kids filming him coming up the stairs in a very traumatic, ridiculous moment. Just finished working out, wipes the sweat off his brow. It happens. There's no way. The moment is hilarious, and he captured it because he thought it was he thought it would be TV gold. Here he is, reemerging from his cocoon of seclusion.
All right, here it is, the official reentry from the basement. Cleared by CDC, a little sweaty, just worked out, happens. This is what I've been dreaming of, literally for weeks. My wife, she was cleared by the CDC. She doesn't have fever, she doesn't have the symptoms anymore, more than 7 days from her quarantine. But we're still a little scared, so I'll just give you one of these. 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 Bella has, of course, taken the video. This is the dream, just to be back up here doing normal things.
this is the dream, just to be back up here doing normal things. You're telling me he wasn't up there doing normal things, please. First of all, give you one of these, he's doing hang loose because he's stupid. He's waving his just finger and his thumb, one of these. And then he fakes cough on his wife, like a moron. It's this guy, a 12-year-old, what the hell? But he emerges from the stairs. This is the official thing. Well, it turns out that there was at least one unofficial breaking of quarantine. Now, he made a lot of news by, I'm quarantining, I'm in my basement, I'm this, I'm that, oh, I'm a hero, look at me suffering through this, follow me, watch my show, pay attention to me. New York Post reported this back on April 14th. Remember the audio I played of Chris Cuomo whining on his Sirius XM radio show about how he doesn't really want to work for CNN anymore. He doesn't find it fulfilling. He wants to do something, but he doesn't care about the money. He saved his money. He doesn't care about this, that, and the other. And then suddenly he cared about it. Well, this story from the New York Post. Long Island resident blasted as a jackass, loser, fat tire biker by Chris Cuomo in a radio rant told the Post Tuesday that the CNN host is nothing but a bully and that he even filed a complaint with the cops against him. Now, when he was talking about the jackass, loser, fat tire biker, I thought it was like a confrontation in a gas station between a guy on a Harley with fat tires and Chris Cuomo filling up his Beamer or whatever he drives. No, it turns out that it's actually a mountain biker with a fat tire bike that helps you with off-road stuff. And the guy's 65 years old. So Chris Cuomo got into an altercation, an argument with a guy who's 65 years old who was riding out his bike in East Hampton. And you think, well, what in the hell? How could that's this altercation, this confrontation allegedly took place on Easter Sunday, which is last Sunday. Now, if you're playing the home game, a week ago would be right in the sweet spot of Chris Cuomo's quarantine because he was ravaged by coronavirus, right? Right. So what was Chris Cuomo doing out there? Well, Chris Cuomo was out in East Hampton, several miles, I think 30 miles from his home, checking out a property. They're building another mansion for themselves with some of that CNN money he doesn't seem to care about or didn't care about for that day. He's building himself another mansion, another nice big home. And he was out there checking out the property, checking out the construction as it progressed. Chris Cuomo broke quarantine to go out and check on his construction progress. Yet on his show, you just heard the audio. Here it is, the official, I'm leaving quarantine, coming up the stairs. In other words, he's a liar. He's a fraud. He was exposed as such. And he exposed himself as such. In his rant on his radio show, he didn't say just the other day, just yesterday on Easter Day, that he was having this confrontation with somebody. He just made it sound like everywhere he went, he gets harassed. I actually, when I heard the audio, I thought he was talking about the guy from the brunch like a year ago who was calling him Fredo and Cuomo threatened to throw him down a flight of stairs. But no, he was talking about an actual event that had just happened the day before on Easter Sunday. So why, how can you justify any of this? How does this happen? How does CNN allow the broadcast of, I'm now emerging from my thought cocoon, I, the hero of my own story? It's a total lie. It is a total fraud. This is CNN. But it's not just CNN, by the way. Media people always think that they're superior to everybody. The New York Post, yet again, has another story from yesterday. Coronavirus-stricken George Stephanopoulos ignores mask mandate during Hampton stroll. Again, Chris Cuomo and everybody who works at CNN lecturing the country about how you need to stay locked up, stay inside. Don't quit whining about wanting to get back to work. You just sit there and you stay home and watch, you know, your economic life collapse. Watch your ability to take care of your family just burn up. George Stephanopoulos, ABC News, same thing. Everybody, how dare you? These people are stupid, racist Nazis who want to get back to work. Well, New York Post, George Stephanopoulos had already irked Hampton's residents by going out in public after his wife contracted COVID-19. But now the Good Morning America is battling the virus himself and is ignoring mandates to wear a mask in public. The pale-looking ABC newsman was spotted on the by the Post on Monday afternoon taking a stroll in East Hampton, engrossed in a long conversation on his mobile phone with a mask hanging around his neck. And there's the picture. George rocking shorts and a hoodie and a mask around his neck, phone up to his mouth. Now, he's not wearing a super-duper mask helmet thing that would obstruct his voice. He's just got a surgical mask. He could easily talk through that, but he's refusing to talk through that. He's walking around. There's park benches behind him. Who knows what he's coughing on, hacking on, spreading around. Who the hell knows? But he and his colleagues at ABC News will go on and lecture people protesting that they want to get their lives back because they need to take care of themselves. They will lecture them nonstop about how awful and selfish they are and how stupid they are. Why, you dumbass hillbillies, don't you know what's good for you like we do? It is the ultimate in hypocrisy. Now, all of these media people, they get special passes. Everybody's ordered to stay home. They are declared essential personnel. Technically, I could be declared essential personnel too, but I work from home, so I didn't bother going through the rigmarole to make it happen. But this is the world that they occupy. This is the world that they live in. This is hypocrisy squared. So remember that next time these people lecture you. Not only are they still hammering big fat paychecks, most of them are free to move around and go where pretty much wherever they want. But you, you serfs, you peons, you just shut your mouth and do what you're told. Don't you know that we're better than you? Keep that in mind next time you hear one of these self-righteous pricks lecture you about anything. They really are just the god-awful worst people. Anyway, we're going to get to the Ash Skow interview. We talk about Joe Biden, Tara Reid. It's nice to talk about something other, as unpleasant as the conversation topic is. It's nice to talk about something not coronavirus-related. Ash has been covering the false sexual assault allegations on college campuses. We get into that a lot. Your due process rights are done. The hypocrisy of the Me Too movement, the allegations against Joe Biden that the media is not interested in. We get into all that stuff. So without any further ado, I thank you for listening. The live part, we go, well, they're all on tape. Whatever. Here's the Ash Skow interview. Actually, I lied about the no further ado. I've got 1 minute of ado to tell you about Hydrant. Yes, Hydrant. Top performers in business and sports often attribute their success to their morning routine, whether it's waking up early, setting their goals for the day, exercise, meditation, whatever it is. But not everyone has the time to do all that. With Hydrant, you can jumpstart your mornings. Did you know that 75% of us are walking around every day chronically dehydrated? We're suffering needlessly from frequent headaches, energy slumps, and poor focus. And it doesn't have to be that way. You want to kickstart that or kick that coffee habit? Kickstart your day? Get more energy? Well, to avoid the morning sluggishness and that midday slump, you need to make sure you're hydrated. That's where Hydrant comes in. Hydrate created flavored electrolyte packets you mix directly into your water. You just pour it right into your bottle of water or your cup of water or however you drink water. It's easy and it's delicious. Each rapid hydration mix has 4 essential electrolytes your body needs: sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc. They help you hydrate quickly and stay hydrated all day. And they're backed up by research. The formula was developed by Oxford scientists to provide perfectly balanced, efficient hydration. There's no synthetic colors or artificial sweeteners. The formula is vegan, and you get to choose between three different flavors or a variety pack. Get the variety pack. Check it out, then see which one you like best. I like the grapefruit. Hydrant starts at just $1 a packet for a 30-day supply, and you can save even more with a monthly subscription, and you can save even more. In fact, 25% off your first order if you go to drinkhydrant.com, all one word, drinkhydrant.com, and enter promo code CALLER at checkout. That's drinkhydrant.com, enter promo code CALLER, 25% off your first order. drinkhydrant.com, enter promo code CALLER. The stuff really is delicious, and get you off that awful, awful coffee stuff. Now it's time for Ash Scow.
Okay, as we've been doing throughout the lockdown, the pandemic, apocalypse, we're checking in with people around the country, around the world, around the area, although not around the world yet, although I think I might do somebody from Australia soon. Mm-hmm. Language barriers are going to be issues. We're joined by real people out there living real lives and doing important work, and we're checking in, seeing what they're up to, picking their brains, and this is no different. We're joined by Ash Scow. She is the senior editor at the Daily Wire, formerly everywhere. She's been all over the place. You probably follow her on Twitter. How you doing, Ash?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I work from home most of the time, so this isn't a big change for me. How has it been for you?
Yeah, I started working from home in 2016 after I left the Washington Examiner, so this hasn't been a change at all for me either. And my fiance works from home as well. So this is really just, we're just going on with our lives. We just can't go out to eat as much.
Yeah.
Or at all.
Say, are either of you cooks?
I am.
Okay. So at least you got that. My wife can't cook for anything to save her life. Oh, so no. It's all me. Oh, I know. Well, she's tried, and that's why she doesn't cook. It just doesn't work out. But you mentioned your fiance there. One of the things you tweeted the other day, last weekend, I believe, it wasn't supposed to be your fiance anymore.
Yeah.
Your wedding got postponed because of this.
We were supposed to get married on Saturday, as in, 4 days ago. We were supposed to be on our honeymoon right now, but because of the coronavirus shutdowns, it has been postponed for a few months. So it was really upsetting. The whole weekend we were kind of down, just thinking, this would be so different. But at the same time, the weather was really terrible. So it was kind of like, I'm kind of glad I didn't get married in the cold and the rain.
Where were you supposed to go on your honeymoon?
Colorado, Breckenridge.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll still be there.
Right, exactly.
And so you were able to reschedule everything, and I imagine you had people coming in from around the country and
right, which is still what the worry is, because we were able to reschedule everything, and it even looks like more people might be able to attend now that it's a different date. But I'm kind of worried still about where the airlines will be at that time, like how long it might take for them to get up and running. They're not shut down, right? They're just hardly in flights, and when the flights will come back.
Who wants to hop on a plane right now? So
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So that had to be a horrible, how do you come to the decision that, because theoretically you could have just FaceTimed everybody and gotten eloped sort of just to get it over with. How do you wrestle with that decision to say, no, we're going to postpone this?
Well, the venue was really, really good about it, and I really love the venue, and they've been so helpful through all of this, and, it's such a beautiful wedding, that I've planned that I didn't want to give that up. I mean, other people, it might be easier. I know one of our friends, Sarah Smith, is supposed to get married this weekend, and I think she's still going to do that by having a backyard wedding with just family or FaceTiming or something like that. And that's an option for her. It wasn't really an option for us because people, trying to coordinate all of that, and all Nick's whole family lives in another state. So, the fact that none of them could be there just wasn't going to work for us.
Well, it's a smart play, and hopefully you'll get back to it soon as we sort of return to some semblance of normalcy. God, we could use it, this abnormalcy. But, you know, it's weird because in our business, abnormalcy for everybody else is still a bit of normal, especially if you work from home. You've still been reporting. You've still been writing. You still, I imagine, are on the phone an awful lot. Mm-hmm. What are you noticing as far as news business? That if it's not coronavirus, it might as well not exist. But there are other things happening in the world. What do you think has been missed by and large by the mainstream media and an audience of the mainstream media because of coronavirus?
Well, I don't think things are so much being missed as they're being buried because with the coronavirus as an excuse. I mean, number one would be the sexual assault allegations against Joe Biden, right? They the media has just completely ignored this in a way that they did not do against dubious allegations against Brett Kavanaugh. I mean,
wait, are you trying to suggest that there aren't just scores of 15-year-olds running gang rape parties on a weekly basis across the country that people attend more than I think? I don't know. I'm not a woman, but I would think that if I was dragged to a gang rape party, I wouldn't go back the next week. But Julie Swetnick seemed to, you know, the punch was good. She didn't care for the gang rape, but the DJ was good. You're saying CNN running with that story nonstop. They're not really following Tara Reid's story.
No, they, so Tara Reid made her, not the actress. We always want to say that, but Tara Reid, former staffer for Joe Biden, proven former staffer, by the way. Just remember that Christine Blasey Ford was never able to prove she was ever even in the same room as Brett Kavanaugh. But Tara Reid absolutely did work for Joe Biden. So she made her allegations of sexual assault on March 25th. Now, last year, she made allegations that he just, you know, made her uncomfortable with his touching, the same kind of allegations that a whole bunch of women were saying about Biden last year. But Reid upped her game on March 25th, saying that, yes, he actually sexually assaulted her. And she had friends from that time that said, yes, she told her about the us about this. I think her brother said, yeah, she did say something about this back then. So she had some, you know, contemporaneous corroboration.
Which is way more than any of the Kavanaugh accusers had.
Right, exactly, absolutely. And so CNN finally publishes an article about that includes the Reid allegations. It wasn't really about the Reid allegations, but it was last week. So if you do the math, that was 24, 25 days after Reid made
it had become a running joke how people were tweet out screen captures of CNN search results looking for Tara Reid, spelled R-E-A-D-E, and they returned zero results. They had to do something because they'd done nothing so obviously for so long.
Right. The New York Times waited 19 days for it, and the CNN waited 5 days past that, so 24 days to finally say something. But when they actually did write something about it, it was about how Democrats who are responding to it, how they're grappling with the questions, right? So they quoted Amy Klobuchar, Michigan Governor Whitmer, Bernie Sanders, them all being asked about it. But Biden still has not actually been asked about this. His campaign denied it. But even though Biden has given 10 television interviews since the allegations, including three on CNN, nobody asked him about those allegations. Now,
a couple of those interviews were hour long, like town hall
style thing. Exactly. Now, the Kavanaugh allegations began on, I believe it was September 16th, and he was approved on October 4th. So that was a 19-day window, right? Within that time frame, from the moment the allegations were public, now granted July was when Ford actually did it, but the media got him on September 9th or 16th, right? In that 19-day window, CNN published somewhere around like 670 articles about Kavanaugh allegations.
What's amazing about that, when I saw that in your story, is how are there that many stories to write about this?
There weren't. And so one, you've got every one of the allegations, then you've got every little side story to those allegations, every, you know, Michael Avenatti interview on CNN about the allegations, every Michael Avenatti tweet about the allegations, every Michael Avenatti false accusation. You've got all of that. You've got everything about Ford's friends. You've got everything about Ramirez's friends. You've got everything about, you know, Kavanaugh. And then they also went into painting Kavanaugh as a rapist by going through his yearbook and pulling out everything to say, yep, well, he drank, therefore he did this. Or his friends joked about things in their yearbook, therefore they must have been rapists. And then all the articles about the prep school he went to and how clearly, you know, it was an all boys school. Clearly it was producing rapists because these guys drank, you know, as
they
teenagers.
They sent reporters to the school itself, didn't they? As if, you know, his locker was still there, as if right. his classmates were still, this is 35 years ago. Maybe the right. biggest loser in their class hadn't graduated yet, but I think they would have kicked him out by then. What did they expect to find? Yet this was the extent to which these so-called journalists went to, I wouldn't even say cover this story, to expand, to create it, to blow up this story.
Right. And so when New York Times executive editor Dean Baquet was asked about why the Times took 19 days to respond, he had a very revealing answer in which he said, like, you know, the Kavanaugh story was a big story at the time, right? It was, you know, because basically he didn't say this, but it was, you know, they wanted to stop Kavanaugh from getting on the Supreme Court. So they made it the biggest story of the year, of the moment. And then he says, if you ask in the average person on the street, they've never heard of the Tara Reid allegations. So that's why they didn't cover them. It's like you're using the fact that you didn't cover it as an excuse for not covering it. I mean, people aren't going to hear about these things if the media hasn't covered them, and the media chose not to cover them and then claimed, well, it's not a story because no one's heard of it. Because you didn't cover it.
Which died first, the chicken or the egg? It's amazing. I always say when you get to control the unit of measure, you're always going to be the smartest, the funniest, the best looking, whatever. And that seems to be what the New York Times standard was. We didn't report it because nobody knew about it. Of course, nobody could know about it unless we reported it. They reported it in a very watered down way that was heavy on denials, not as bad as the Washington Post. But CNN takes the cake.
Absolutely. I mean, they didn't even address the allegations came much later in the article from other Democrats trying to have these wishy-washy responses about how, well, we need to, you know, investigate. We need to believe women. But, you know, this was false. And you know, he's done great work and you know, whatever, which is, you know, the same basic thing like Alyssa Milano saying, I'm still with Joe Biden, you know, because believe all women doesn't mean believe all women, even though that's what Biden said it meant, was that we have to assume they're telling the truth. No, apparently now believe all women says they can be heard, but then they need their stories need to be investigated, which is a completely different standard than the Me Too movement used and what was used for Brett Kavanaugh.
What was funny about Alyssa Milano was she cited, because Tara Reid, when she, you don't just, you know, call up your local circular or your local newspaper and say, hey, I've got a story to tell you, when it's against the presumptive Democratic nominee. She went to, because you know that hellfire is going to rain down on you. You have to be prepared. She went to the Me Too movement, the people who kicked all of this off, the people who created the Believe All Women. She wanted their help. She wanted their backing. She had a story to tell. And they said, thank you, no, right?
Right. They said we couldn't because it would affect our nonprofit status because Biden is running for president. Now, do you think they would have had the, you know, done the same thing if there are new allegations against Trump right now? I mean, the Time's Up Fund didn't exist in 2016. It was created after Trump was inaugurated. But you think that same standard would be used right now? And you know, what's funny is some of the other Democrats or Alyssa Milano using the fact that the Time's Up Fund didn't take Reid's case as evidence that it is not a strong case, right? Even though the Time's Up Fund said we didn't take it because of our nonprofit status. That doesn't say anything about what we believe about the credibility of this case. Yet Alyssa Milano then goes out and says, well, because they didn't take it, I have to assume it wasn't credible. And like they're using that. But here's something that is interesting and possibly even promising is that the Women's March has called for Biden to actually answer these allegations. Their official Twitter account tweeted out an article on this saying, you know what? Women need a leader. And if Biden wants to be that leader and get the women's vote, then he needs to address these. And Biden so far has not.
Well, also Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you have to say it like that or it's a hate crime. She has said that Biden needs to answer this. Now, the next day she came out and said that she's supporting Joe Biden, but they seem to be wanting to have their cake and eat it too on this one.
Right, because what's majorly missing from the New York Times report on this and the Washington Post, and especially obviously the CNN report, any reports on this, is the fact that Biden's standard of believing women has been thrown out the window, and that he was the most high-profile champion of said standard. I mean, he's the one that championed the college campus lack of due process regulations that basically say an accusation is as good as gold,
which is something you've covered extensively.
Right, exactly. So Biden has been doing this. I mean, his standard, he's written an op-ed that said, you know, like, believing women means that you have to accept they're telling the truth, like, from the get-go. And he said that, and he's saying, like, there's no equivocating on this, that women tell the truth. They don't lie. They know what they experienced. You know, we have to believe them. But then now, all of a sudden, he's not being held to his own standard, and suddenly the standard's being changed. I mean, that's what, you know, it happens a lot with the people that say we need to trust women and believe women when it comes to claims of sexual assault. They tend to get accused themselves quite often with alarming regularity.
It's not all that uncommon, though. Look, people in power, it just happens to be that it's mostly men, but people in power tend to abuse that power. They also tend to attract sycophants. So if you take a swing and a miss, if you will, and that's being incredibly generous without getting graphic about what Joe Biden is accused of doing, that doesn't really impact you all that much, because, you know, if 5 times out of 10, the woman is okay and like, all right, let's go to your hideaway office. You're not, especially back in the 90s, the 80s, this was post-Clarence Thomas, but that didn't really impact Democrats. It's not out of the realm of possibility that something like this happened. It's not like he threw her down a flight of stairs and raped her unconscious body. This was a plausible story.
Right, but there's still issues with it. I mean, I'm not, you know, she has some contemporaneous reports, but some of the people have also not said specifically what she told them. Her brother was kind of wishy-washy on, you know, whether she just said he was uncomfortable, but then he called the reporter back to say, oh, no, she told me about this sexual assault. Then she said she's told a bunch of people in Biden's office. They say, I don't remember anything like this, nor anybody else making any claims like this. Granted, they worked for Biden. They might still be loyal to him. But still, you know, there's issues, legitimate issues with her accusation. But she's not getting the benefit of the doubt in the mainstream media the way Christine Blasey Ford and Deborah Ramirez and Swetnick got.
Oh, no. Julie Swetnick was clearly insane. Her story was absurd. Her lawyer was a publicity hound who, well, he's not out of jail now, but will be back there soon. And she had shows dedicated to her. And the NBC News had evidence of Julie Swetnick's credibility problems that they held back. That's what I find.
Yeah, they still put her on the air, but they prefaced it with, we can't verify these claims. Whereas now all of these networks and outlets are saying, we didn't publish a story because we couldn't verify Reed's claims. And it's like, that standard is new, apparently. Suddenly due process matters. And it's like, where were you guys the past decade when the Obama administration eviscerated due process?
Well, you have sort of covered this beat on college campuses for a long time, and it always boils up from the bottom and impacts adults. But what is the state of college campus and gender relations on college campuses? Because an allegation oftentimes are false and provably false, but that doesn't stop the punishment. That doesn't stop the consequences. Lives are ruined. And there's very little recourse for the lives being ruined simply through an allegation.
Right. On a college campus, a woman can make an allegation. The school will be fully 100% behind her. And the man's only recourse is to hire an expensive attorney to take on the school, which has millions and millions and possibly billions in funding behind it. So if the accused guy doesn't have a wealthy family with access to capital, he can't get justice. He's just thrown out of school. Meanwhile, the women don't have to worry about any of that. They're, you know, provided with a school that completely backs them and will do anything to get the man they accuse, which they can accuse somebody for any reason. I mean, if they want to get a test delayed, or if, you know, the guy didn't call them back afterwards, well, then they can get him.
What's the most egregious example that you've seen in all of your reporting of, it was so obvious and blatant, and still the guy got screwed over?
Well, I'd have to think about that one because there's a lot. But one of the most egregious examples, unfortunately, the guy did not learn until he hired counsel and got to the discovery phase, which was that the girl had texted her friend right after, just completely admitting that she just made a mistake and that she did something terrible because she slept with her roommate's boyfriend or performed a sexual act on him. And those text messages also show that she was texting with another guy and then complaining to her friend that this other guy wasn't hitting on her or trying to sleep with her when she looked so good. But when she told the school nearly 2 years later that the guy whom she performed the sex act on actually sexually assaulted her by forcing her to do it, She claimed that she had been distraught and was telling her friend about it and had someone come over because she was so distraught, when in reality, it was another guy she had a crush on who came over and she tried to get him to sleep with her. So, I mean, that was, and the school won't let the kid back in, claiming these text messages aren't evidence of what you're saying. Like, they don't change what we've said, I mean, at all. I mean... There have been cases where, you know, the evidence at the very least suggests you can't know one way or the other, yet schools just take the accuser's story as just holding more weight than the accused. There's no matter what.
There's no justice, or very difficult to get justice through the college, because, you know, the college can decide to throw you off campus whether you're guilty or not, or found guilty in a court of law. But is right. there recourse for these people who've been accused? Are they clogging up the civil courts, or courts,
there
or are colleges sort
been,
of immune?
There have been hundreds of cases filed against colleges. But again, those are only the cases where the student can afford an attorney. So you've got to imagine how many hundreds or thousands of more students, and particularly, who's that going to be? Low-income minority students who can't actually defend themselves and get their lives back after a false accusation. There have been about 200 or so favorable rulings to accused students, and, I don't know, nearly 100 settlements, I think, from the schools, because schools don't want to go to trial. There was a time when Duke went to a trial over one of these, and one of their deans was asked, okay, two students, male, female, both equally drunk. So by the school's rules, they would have essentially raped each other. Who's responsible for getting consent? And the dean actually said that in cases where both students are drunk, the man's responsible for getting consent, which, I mean, violates Title IX, which is anti-gender discrimination. You know, right. Completely. So the schools don't go to trial anymore because things like that might come out. So they tend to settle after the student files a lawsuit, then the school tries to get it dismissed. And if the judge denies the school the motion to dismiss, then they usually settle. And Duke has, I believe, twice beyond that settled just before the case was supposed to go to court. Like, they brought it right up until the 11th hour and then settled to avoid going to court. I mean, these schools, they hope that they can just bleed the student dry, because they receive no negative publicity if they kick an accused rapist off campus. But if they don't effectively believe a female accuser, then they will get, you know, all kinds of media.
They'll get crucified. Bad press.
Yeah,
absolutely. Morning Joe will set up shop right across the street from campus and do their show from there. Maybe not now, but in general. Now, didn't the Trump administration make some changes to this? Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, I remember her catching hell for things related to this.
Right, and she still is. So they're supposed to be releasing these new regulations. They were supposed to release them, you know, years ago. They're supposed to be releasing them soon, as I hear, every month. This month, as I've heard every month for the past 24 months. And you've got Democrats that are saying, we can't release these regulations during coronavirus. It's like, what? We can't provide students rights during coronavirus. What are you, insane? Is basically their argument. But they're just trying to get them delayed. But Betsy DeVos has created new regulations that would require schools to provide some basic due process rights to students, like making sure they know the full allegations against them before they have to defend themselves, or allowing them access to the evidence against them, to the actual report that the investigator has come up with, so that they can actually respond to the claims. They want some form of cross-examination, because right now schools, thanks to the Obama administration, think that cross-examination is going to re-traumatize women, these accusers who have already been traumatized from a drunken hookup or whatever they're claiming. So that cross-examination has been discouraged. And you've had multiple landmark court cases that have said, you know what, when it comes down to he said, she said, yeah, cross-examination is really important for determining credibility. So there might be something like that in the regulations. And I mean, those of us who have even like a little bit of a familiarity with the legal system are like, wait, you can't cross-examine. You're not allowed to see the evidence against you. I mean, it's seriously a kangaroo court, Star Chamber, Salem witch trial, whatever you want to call it.
And now, is there a justification they have for these schools have for this, aside from just the you know, general generic gender politics and political correctness? Is there any kind, do they try to make a case of this is why we do things this way, or do they just do things this way hoping nobody notices?
I think it's pretty much the latter. I mean, they claim there's an epidemic of sexual assault on college campuses, but those are based on self-reported surveys with really broad definitions of what sexual assault is, which basically includes, you know, a guy going in for a kiss and you saying no, well, you've been sexually assaulted because you didn't want to kiss that guy. So these reports that there's an epidemic, you know, that 20% of college women undergrads are getting sexually assaulted is just flat out fake. But the schools and the media have run with this, that it's an epidemic. And basically, because of that, due process needs to be put aside because reasons. I mean, it's really absurd. They just claim no woman lies about this. Every woman who makes an accusation is automatically like PTSD traumatized. And therefore, these guys need to be kicked off campus, or else her life is over and she can't, you know, move on with her studies or anything. And clearly, his life means nothing. And his innocence means absolutely nothing. His education, his life, his future, none of that matters because he's been accused. Therefore, no matter what, he's a suspicious person.
Well, the accusation is enough to get you kicked off campus. They do that. That's their default position. You have to leave. You're out, and we'll figure out whether or not you did it maybe later, but they just hope these kids go away, and most of them can't. But this last bit here, there's no recourse. The kids kicked off campus. If they try to transfer to another school, say you're two semesters away from graduation and you're innocent, but you've got to graduate college. Can you transfer? Will the new school you're trying to transfer to be aware of the fact that you were booted off of the campus of your previous college because of this? Does this follow them, I'm asking, basically?
Yeah. If the school doesn't make them aware with a little asterisk on your transcript, then accusers sometimes like to call new schools to or jobs in order to get the guy continually kicked off campus or fired. And just to ensure he can never move on with his life if he's innocent or even if he's not innocent. I mean, we do let people out of jail to try their lives again. But at this point, one student actually told BuzzFeed this years ago that it's like they basically just want you to die after you've been accused. Like they don't ever want you to ever show your face in public, have a life or anything. And it doesn't matter. It's not like, oh, they don't want you to have a good life. I mean, there was a guy that was working as a pool cleaner and got fired from the job because the girl called and said, oh, well, he's a rapist. So, I mean, they really do just want you to basically die and whatever. But there are occasionally times where the student can transfer from a well-known school to a college or community college like you've never heard of in the middle of nowhere somewhere.
They can graduate that way. I keep it secret. Hopefully nobody finds me. My God. Right. I am glad that I am not in college right now. I'm glad that I'm married, so I'm not even out in the dating world. But Jesus, we're going to have to like go on a first date with contracts now and lawyers. As chaperones with
and cameras and notaries
filming the whole thing.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I don't know how you cover this stuff without going insane, Ash, but I'm glad.
I had to take a break for a little bit because it did get too much.
So, well, don't hate your gender. Just hate some of them. My gender's got its own issues too. Ash Scow, wow, that half hour went fast. Thanks for taking the time in isolation. Sorry, but you know what? Now you had the anticipation to your wedding, and you get that anticipation again. That's the real excitement because the whole thing goes by so damn quickly that you're not aware it's going on. So you get two anticipation days. So there's that. Good luck on this set. It's a small consolation prize. It's like a turtle wax for not winning the showcase showdown. Get a year's supply of turtle wax, but it's something. You didn't have turtle wax when you walked in. Ash Scow of the Daily Wire, thanks for coming on, and stay safe and get married as soon as you can.
Thanks for having me on.
That is all the time we have. We'll be back here tomorrow with another exciting episode. See you tomorrow.